Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Have you readjusted your expectations for the Birds after two games, 1-1? But it's more about the way things have looked. The pass rush, the run defense, the up and down offensive play than it is just the record. Where are you at on the Eagles through 2 weeks? We'll get to some Phillies coming up. Great win last night. The magic number for a playoff spot is 1. It's 4 to clinch the National League East. Nick Sirianni, we'll let you hear what he said as well to the morning show coming up in a little bit. Let's talk to Kevin in North Philadelphia. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning. What's up, buddy?
Hey, a couple things. Let me ask y'all, when you draft a college player, right, how long is the norm for you to give him before you figure he's going to be good or a bust?
That's a good question. I think the position seems to matter, right? Like a quarterback needs...
And coaching matters.
Yeah, you need the reps at quarterback before you really know, but... Kevin, I think with a guy like a running back or a linebacker, you can kind of tell right away, do they have it? And then with some other positions, it takes a little while. But who are you thinking of in particular as you say it?
I hate to say this, but I'm starting to think the whole Georgia experiment was wrong.
That's strong.
Kevin, I got a thought on this. Kevin, I'm starting to wonder. If the Georgia thing was, instead of them all being really good prospects, they were just, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 B players on the same team. And in college, usually you don't have that, right? You have like 3 or 4 maybe if you're good NFL players. They had like 10 or 11 of them on the same team, and they made each other look better, but they're not that great of players. I'm starting to wonder this.
I'm thinking at best they're like role players in the NFL. But N'Kobe Dean, Smith, and probably Davis, I'm starting to think that they're not star players.
Kevin, I think you're on to something. The more I watch them, and Kevin, we appreciate the phone call. All right, he brought it up. I've brought this up lately, Hugh. Let's go through it. The Georgia guys, right? So far in the NFL, let's go through all the ones the Eagles have taken here the last few years and where we're at on them as players. So there's Jordan Davis. Hugh?
Yes.
Where are you on Jordan
Davis? I feel I'm still kind of bullish on Jordan. I don't understand. The thing that I don't understand is, why aren't you prepared to play on a consistent level? The biggest problem that I have with Jordan, because I've seen him flash, is that he doesn't do it consistently. Like, there are times during the course of the game where he disappears.
Totally.
And you can't have that. Not at this level. I still think Jordan can play. I think Jordan's mentality and his mindset has to change, and his conditioning. Because I saw a lot of, like, you know, excuses being made about, oh, they were out there a long time and da da da. Man, listen, that dog does not hunt when I hear somebody say that. It does not hunt.
It just doesn't feel like it's the return on the investment's not there yet. I mean, it's just he's supposed to help them stop the run. They get gassed when he's in the game. We know he doesn't get after the quarterback. So there's the Davis thing. Jalen Carter, who, by the way, did not play the first series of the game. That came out yesterday after our show ended. He wasn't out there. You might have noticed that. He wasn't on the field the first defensive series of the game, reportedly because of a disciplinary thing. He was late to some sort of team function, and that was the discipline. He didn't play the first series. He played after that. Hugh, I know people expected a big year out of Jalen Carter. He may still do that. Quiet first two games. good rookie year, but a quiet first two games. Nolan Smith, zero right now.
Mm-hmm.
N'Kobe Dean, where are you in N'Kobe?
We were talking about, like, I'm not that down on him because we were just saying just a week ago we got some linebackers, and N'Kobe Dean did do enough to be in the starting lineup. But if you're going to be out there, man, you got to flash. You got to flash. But I'm not that down on N'Kobe either.
All right, and then there's Kelee Ringo, who really hasn't gotten on the field. I mean, Kyle, they have five Georgia defenders here they've drafted the last couple years, and it's not equaled what they wanted.
No, I mean, and think about the investments they made. It's first-round picks.
Three first-rounders.
Yeah, the third-round pick and a lot of money. Now they've paid Sweat and Bryce Huff. So, I mean, it's like the only way to look at the defensive line in totality is, and I love Howie, but it's a massive failure by Howie Roseman.
You know, this is the first time in a while people are getting on Howie. We had a caller earlier. I heard Joe this morning talking about how the loss was bringing more on Howie than anybody else. It's the first time in a while that, and I agree with this. You look at the team and you're like, do they have enough? I mean, they have names, but do they have enough? And to answer the caller's question about how long it takes to know if a kid can't play or not, I think everyone's different. Every player's different. There's some late bloomers. I mean, look at BG, right? Brandon Graham. Most of this town thought he couldn't play.
He was called a bust.
And then he turned into a tremendous Eagle. So I don't know. I mean, all you could go off of is what you see, and then you hope it changes.
I remember when I was in Atlanta, Travis Slink used to be the GM for the Hawks. And he told me the hardest thing to do is to when you're drafting, when you're vetting players, is to try to figure out their why. You know, do some guys want to be, you know, Hall of Famers? Do they just want to get a check? Because, you know, in the NBA, it's hard. Like, especially when you're drafting in the top five, you have to figure out who's the best fit for
your program. And you're taking 18-year-olds, right?
You're taking those guys. Because, like, a perfect example, Ben Simmons. And what happened here in Philadelphia, unfortunately, what happened. And it feels like he just didn't have that want to.
He didn't want it, yeah.
I don't think that these Georgia players are there. But I understand when people start to feel like if that's the case. Jalen Carter flashed so much last year that we were comparing him to the late, great Jerome Brown. Like, like, that comparison shouldn't be taken lightly, in my opinion.
He's the one I think we all could see he has the real talent.
Yeah.
The other ones, I question it. And the other thing is, look around the NFL, because it wasn't just them. They had a whole defense that got drafted, right?
Yeah.
And then half of them ended up here. But there's other kids that got drafted. The Packers drafted a couple of them. The Vikings drafted a safety, and then he just got cut. None of them have any of them become great NFL players yet? I don't think so.
You're talking about defensively.
Yeah, because they had the whole team when they won the championship, and they're all in the NFL
okay,
now.
Okay, the championship team.
Yeah, really.
I'm just trying to remember, because I know Roquan was on that defense,
but he wasn't part of the championship team. I mean the group that was with Davis, Carter, Nolan Smith. There was the kid who the Jaguars took at one overall above Aiden Hutchinson.
I know you're talking
Trayvon
about
Trayvon Walker.
Yeah, him.
And he's been okay.
Yeah, Jacksonville, right?
Yeah, Jacksonville. Yeah. He's been okay. Not a bust, but he's just been okay. I just feel like none of these guys yet have become superstars in the NFL.
I feel like a lot of times, and I talk about my old coach, my first coach in the NFL a lot, Ray Hamilton. It's on coaching to get you to that point. Now, I feel like with Jordan Davis coming into this season and being aware of what was being said about him last year, that he cares. I think that he does care because he came in in shape. But I think that you have to do your part to help them realize what it is to be professionals. Being a professional is not clocking out when the job is done, especially in the NFL. It's not clocking out when the job is done. It's clocking out when you've done everything that you possibly could have done to get prepared for the unknown in the NFL.
Well, and that's a big part of it. So Bam in Upper Darby. What's up, Bam?
Bam ain't paying attention.
Bam.
I mean, come on.
All right, let's talk to
that's
Will.
Like strike three for Bam this week.
Will's ready to roll. What's up, Will?
My man, how y'all doing today, gentlemen?
Hey, Will. What's up, pal?
Listen, man, this is my thing, right? These guys got to get it together. I don't see no Super Bowl, and I barely see a playoff right now. The defense sucks. And what I'm saying is this. This is, all right, I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you an analogy. You want something, say you want your roof fixed, right? You got the torch, you got the muck, you got the rubber, you got all the tools to fix the roof. but you don't have a roofer. And that's what's wrong with this team. They don't have no coaches, man. This is the problem with the team right now. The coaches, the offenses, and defensive coordinator, I don't even know if they're prepared for these teams that they're playing. So if I was the coach for this week coming up, I'm going to make Derek Carr throw the ball. Kamara going to get his, but we're going to contain him. Try and hold them under 100 yards.
Well, you got to pick. Well, it's a good point. You got to pick one. I mean, if you can't stop the pass, then stop the run. At least get them into third and longs. Will, we appreciate it. Seth's coming up next. 215-592-9494. We'll talk to Seth Joyner, and we'll let you hear some of what Nick Sirianni said this morning on The Morning Show. It's the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94WI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls and let you hear some of what Nick Sirianni said this morning with Joe and John. But right now, Kyle, our next guest is our guy, Seth Joyner.
Yeah, and Seth's sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to a $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, Seth, a lot to talk about. Seth, how you doing today?
What's going on, gents?
What's up, man?
Well, Seth, a lot. I mean, unfortunately, the loss on Monday exposed a lot of things that are concerning about the Eagles. Seth, let's start on defense. I heard you yesterday with Joe and John talking about, you know, the areas they're deficient in, which is most of them. Seth, of the issues they have stopping the run and getting after the quarterback, which one is more fixable to you as we go throughout this season?
It should be them being able to play the run better. I mean, you can always get in a five-man front, and situationally you can get in a six-man front to control the run game. The pass rush, yeah, I mean, you know, you either can rush the pass or you can't.
Yeah.
And it seems like we got a couple of guys that simply can't, and that ain't going to fix itself. They ain't going to learn how to rush the passer, you know, in the next 17 weeks.
Well, and that's the concern here. Can they do that? And Seth, up front, they have some guys here that they brought in the last couple of years, high picks or signings. Nolan Smith, Bryce Huff. When you watch those two guys, what are you seeing? Why are they struggling so much to get to the quarterback?
Man, listen, I wish I was in the studio so I could give a little too small sign.
Is it that simple?
Listen. If when you only have one pass rush, it does become a thing of size. Because if all you do is speed rush, and every offensive tackle in the National Football League knows that's all you got, it becomes a matter of size. Because you can't make that tackle move. You can't create angles, you know, for alternate pass rushes. You're just simply trying to run by somebody, and all they got to do is open up and put that big paw on you and slap you to the ground when you're too small.
So, Seth, like, you know, we were talking about the pass rush, but, like, the other day, the biggest thing was the run game. What did you see from the running game? And in particular, what did you see from Zach Bond? What did you see from him in the middle?
You know, I talked about it on my podcast last night. It's amazing to me that these guys have made it to the professional level. And the little small details. You got to play with your hands, man. You know, I don't care what position you play. You got to play with your hands. These guys got Velcro. The defensive linemen got Velcro on their chest. The linebackers got Velcro on their chest. And sometimes the DBs need some damn Velcro on their chest so they can tackle somebody.
Mm.
It's just when I'm watching it, you got defensive linemen that are trying to fight one guy to get the double team by the time, you know, and when you know, when you're playing a double team as a defensive lineman, you have to defeat one guy. You can't fight two at a time, two of them. That's an impossibility. You can't win that. So you got to destroy one, realizing that the reason why they're double teaming you is so that other guy can get off and get to the next level. But if you destroy it, now you not only are you in your gap, but you give that second level guy an opportunity to get downhill and fit and get where he's supposed to get to. But when you're trying to fight both of them and you stuck to both of them and they're taking you for a ride, your run defense, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, and the linebackers, you know, they still look to me like they're not sure whether they're supposed to fit on flow, whether they're reading the backfield or whether they're reading the offensive linemen. If their eyes are in the backfield, they're going to get beat because their eyes are in the wrong place. I get it. Some of these new schemes and some of these new methodologies require the linebackers, you know, to look at the quarterback and look in the backfield, read the backfield. That's the surest way to get your ass run through. You have to read the offensive linemen. They can't lie to you 98% of the time. They simply can't. If it's run, they got to fire out. And I get it, the RPO. But listen, the league is going to run that RPO up out of here because can't nobody stay on sides with it now. Everybody's down the field. All the offensive linemen are illegally down the field. So that's slowly but surely going to disappear, in my opinion. If it's passed, they got to set and get back, Hugh.
Mm.
They have to. So they're the only ones that don't lie to you. You know, and I believe that my suspicions are true about where their eyes really are, because Zach Vaughn got chopped down like a sycamore tree a number of times in the game on Monday night. And I'm like, if I see that guy coming out at me, I'm not just going to run up in there and let him chop me. As an offensive lineman, when I'm coming out, if I got to cut a guy, the first thing I realize is his level. If he's going to chop me, he got to start getting down to get there. Mm. He's 300-something pounds, well over 6 foot, 2, 3, 4, most of the time. So if I'm looking at him, okay, whatever side I'm flowing to, I got one hand on the helmet, one hand on the shoulder pad. He can't get nowhere near my knees, okay? So are they practicing that in practice with the linebackers? Is that something we do that? We should do that every single day.
Yeah, keep them off your legs.
Yeah, you got to keep them off your legs. But he running up in there like, you know, like they're going to let him, and they chopping him down like a big old sycamore tree, man.
And you know what the sad thing about that, Seth, is that it was the same action like every time. Like it wasn't like at some point you kind of know it's coming, but it was like he didn't know what to do.
Mm. Listen, I'm telling you, it's his eyes. Because if I see a guy coming at me, if I'm reading properly – and my peripheral is good, and this is coaching, okay? I was always taught, if I'm off the ball, I'm always reading through the uncovered offensive lineman to the quarterback, to the back. Now, if I can't see all of that, I can't play. That holds true today. If I can't see all of that, I can't play. I'm reading the uncovered offensive lineman because he's going to give me the tell for everything. If it's run, he's firing out. Double team, boom, I come down, take him off right now. If he pull, boom, I'm getting to the other side. You know, I'm following him, and I'm getting to that gap. I'm trying to get there before he get there, you know, so I can same foot, same shoulder, and cut that gap down, okay? If he pass sets right now, if I'm in zone, boom, I'm getting out now. So all of those passes that you're – those deep crossing routes, those are the responsibility of the linebackers, Hugh. But because they don't read properly, by the time they turn around and try to get some depth, if you look at the Eagles linebackers, they very rarely get past six yards depth. You want to know why? Because on play-action pass, they sucked up in the line, and because they're not reading the offensive linemen, by the time they get back, all those deep crosses are killing them, you know? And they don't. And a lot of times, they don't even know how to, like, read and pass stuff off. Like, when I played backer in dime situations, and you get those double crosses with the dig behind it. Mm. I can't tell you how many times I intercepted that because I got a guy on my left and I got a guy on my right. So anything that crosses my face, I'm passing it, crosser, crosser, crosser. And then I want to get depth because you got to understand the whole methodology of why you got guys crossing in front of a zone dropper. They're trying to pull you out the zone so they can hit the dig behind you, man. How long you been playing football? What is your coach teaching you? What are you watching in film, man?
You know what, Seth? I was telling Joe that this morning. I was like, I don't know what they're being taught, especially across the line of scrimmage when you talk about the way that they're not even setting the edge. The defensive ends aren't setting the edge. And I know this is a 3-4, but I still think the concepts are the same because if you're the outside linebacker and guys are firing out, you got to set the edge because something's coming that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, bootlegs should never work because if I'm a contained defender, the minute that the ball goes away, the first thing I'm doing is I'm looking down the line to see if a pull is coming, to see if I got a close. You understand what I'm saying?
Definitely. I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. The next thing I'm doing is I'm looking up to see if there's a reverse coming or whether that quarterback is reversing out.
Instincts. Okay? That's instincts as a defensive end, outside linebacker, whatever you want to call it.
But you, if it's like children, man, if you don't teach them, how do they know?
I that's what I'm saying, Seth. I don't know because watching the games, instinctually I look and I'm like, okay, well he's supposed to close that gap because that's a natural hole. If the tackle's blocking down if the offensive tackle is blocking the defensive tackle, I got to replace. I got to close that hole down because something might be coming. I'm not going to run down in there. I'm going to keep line integrity, and I'm going to wait to see what's happening. And then I will come and help out on that play. They aren't doing any of that. They're either running up the field or just running down the line flat. You got to keep your shoulder square.
Absolutely. And this wrong foot if you're on the left side with your outside foot up and your inside foot back, that's a recipe for disaster too. I don't know why coaches allow edge guys and outside linebackers to do that. Because you want to know something? Sooner or later, okay, you're either going to get blocked down on the outside from a cut-down split, you're going to get a puller that's coming to you, or you're going to get a bootleg. And by the time you react, you got to step in the bucket. You got to take the extra step before you can actually react. You're going to get reached, and they're going to get around the end because you ain't keeping your outside arm and your outside, you know, foot free.
Yeah.
And these coaches, I see it all across the league. They let these guys get away with it, and it doesn't affect them a lot, Hugh. But every once in a while, in a crucial time, when they want to get outside or they want to run a jet sweep, the jet sweep is the other thing that drives me crazy. You standing up and hear the wide receiver come, and you just let him run right by you. I would take his damn head off because what should be happening is the guys on the back end should be screaming jet motion, jet motion, jet motion. Now if I hear jet motion, I'm on the end of the line of scrimmage, and that guy coming towards me, he ain't getting around me. I wonder sometimes the level of coaching that transpires on the professional level and what kind of tools you give these players to be successful. And then we as fans and as media people, it's our job to talk about it. We want to cut these guys every which way to Sunday. When they're not given the tools that they need to succeed, and furthermore, they're not given the tools that they need to develop. Jalen Carter should have 3 or 4 different pass rushes. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You can't power through these 300-pound tackles.
Not at this level.
Not all day long.
Mm-mm.
Not all day long. Because what he's doing, he's pushing, 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 and now that he's got you moving, now he's trying to get off the block and get to the quarterback. Too late. The average is 1.2, 1.1002, half of 1,003, and the ball is out. Which means you got to win right now. Which means you got to start getting on the edge sometime. You got to swim some guys. You got to set them up with a jab step inside and boom them and get outside. You got to have some more moves.
Yeah.
But they ain't getting a pass rush and no push in the middle because all they doing is power rushing.
And what they're doing is unfortunately not working through 2 games. It's not on the defensive side. Seth, we appreciate it as always. You have a great week, and we'll catch up next week after a big challenge for the Eagles down in New Orleans. Thank you, Seth.
Yeah, after all of them fired me up this early.
Yeah, you got me fired up, too.
Defense, that was awesome. Football guy talk. Thank you, Seth.
Take care, guys.
You got it. There we go. Seth Joyner there. I mean, I was just letting you two cook. I mean, that was defensive guys right there talking football.
But, you know, it's funny because as soon as he says it, it was so ingrained in us back in the day. Like, if that tackle get washed, I got to look down the line. I can't get up the field. I have to stay on the line of scrimmage, and I have to close the gap. But I'm kind of shuffling down the line, and I'm looking up the field to see. And all this happens fast, Joe. I'm looking up the field to see if somebody's coming back.
Right.
If nobody's coming back, if everything's going that way, then I could take off down the line. But if it goes back that way quick, I got to stay on the line of scrimmage because I have a better chance of making that play.
I think the biggest thing that's going to take the Eagles season in a more positive direction, or it's going to keep going the wrong way, is can Vic Fangio get this defense to where we hope it could be? Because the first 2 weeks, I know they won one of the games, and someone could call in and say, Joe, they almost won 2 in a row. They've gotten torched. I mean, they're giving up. They're getting gashed on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Can he get these guys to play at a higher level, or is this what they are? If this is what they are, the Eagles are in big trouble. See, now, if Vic can get them to more of a middle of the pack level, then we got a season.
See, I don't believe they're that bad, and this is why. But you have to be willing to learn. You got to be willing to learn, Joe. I feel like they have the skills to be a good defense, but they have bad habits, and you have to coach bad habits out of people.
How long does it take to break a habit? Is it 20 days?
21 days, man.
Camp and started like 60 days ago.
And I, the thing, again, that I always go back to my first coach, because it was a lot that I didn't know playing at the next level. And he used to sit down and he'd tell me, like, man, you're too small. You have to play with your hands. And we sit there and watch film all the time. You have to be a student of the game, man. You can't be one of them cats that feel like you know it all. You have to be coachable.
No question. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get back to some of your calls, and then we'll let you hear what Sirianni said this morning with Joe and John. Particular two things that stood out from Sirianni, including his decision-making on those fourth downs and the Jalen Carter situation, which really flew under the radar yesterday. Let's go to Greg in the Northeast. What's up, Greg?
Joe Hugh, what's up, man?
Hey, Greg, what's up?
Hey, let me start by saying it's September 18th, and the Phillies are the best team in baseball.
That's right, they are. Greg, for as much as I'm concerned, I think a lot of us are concerned about the Eagles, we got a red October coming here, Greg. I mean, the Phillies are going to obviously make the playoffs. They're going to win the division, and they're at least going to get a bye. Hopefully, they'll get the one seed as well. But we got a big month of October coming for the Phillies here.
Yes, sir. Now, let me get like 30 seconds to cook on these Eagles. So, look, either we come together now or we're going to continue to crumble. What, we've lost 7 of 9? If we don't come together, we're going to continue to crumble. We can stay here and we continue to lose every week, or we can fight our way back. You guys know this is Philadelphia. We're fighters. We don't quit. I can't do it for them. I play JV.
It sounds like you need some music.
Joe, Kyle, you can't do it for them. The leaders of this team can. BT, Jalen, Saquon, Clay. Walk your asses into the building today. Look everyone in the eye and say, let's go get this back. Let's bring winning football back to the Eagles. Who dat going to go down to New Orleans and beat them safe? The Philadelphia damn Eagles are dat. Go Birds.
Go Birds. There we go, Greg. And he did need the music. You're right, Hugh.
No, he needed the music.
Yeah, he needed just a little boost.
I wanted to give Seth the music, but...
I just was sitting back enjoying that. I mean... Maybe the most underrated part of Seth's interview with us today was asked him about both Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff, and he just said they're too small.
Yeah.
He just said they're too small.
I mean, and you know, Seth played with some grown-ass men out there at defensive end.
I mean, look, I know smaller pass, it's a different league now, right? These guys are 235, 240, 245 off the edge. Mm-hmm. But when you watch some of those highlights of Bryce Huff just getting engulfed, and you watch there's a one clip out there of Bijan coming a chip, and I think it's Nolan Smith, you know.
Ooh, he got de-cleated.
Oh, my goodness.
We got a bleeder.
He took
not going to make it.
He took him out. Brandon's up next on WIP. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
What's going on, man?
Brandon, we're just trying to figure things out here. What are you feeling?
All right, so I got major concerns, short-term and long-term. Short-term, real quick. I'm going to try to make this real quick. Short-term, I think we're going to have a historically worse or historically bad defense, worse than last year. And I don't think that Jalen is enough. I don't think he's the type of quarterback on the offensive side that can actually erase that. Like, I just think the defense is too bad. And I'm concerned about the scheme and things that they have. Short term, I'm very, very concerned.
Well, I don't think you're crazy to be concerned, Brandon. And I know a lot of people think that, hey, it's just defense. You could outscore teams and all that. I mean, Drew Brees, in the middle of his career, and obviously Drew Brees is an all-timer, he had 3 straight 7-9 seasons at one point because the Saints had a bad defense, you know, about a decade ago. So if the defense is as bad as they've looked the first 2 weeks, it's going to be hard to win a lot of games. That's just the truth.
Right, right. And so as far as long term, what is the expression? A broken clock is right twice a day.
Yep.
So 2017, 2022, the broken clock is the organization at the top and the structure about how they do things. Like, I don't think that you can hire a coach and then hire his defensive and offensive coordinators for him. I don't think that you can rely solely on, analytics all the time and then have somebody that's basically relaying, hey coach, with the information we got, 78% says that you should go for this, you know, 4th and 3 instead of kicking the field goal and taking the points. Like, I just think that I think it worked for 2017 and 2022. But if you look, especially at Sirianni's tenure, he doesn't really, like, he's never really put a full game together. Even in 2022, we were scoring like crazy first half of this game. The last half, we were, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we were up by a lot. So we really didn't, you know what I'm saying, lose. But we never really put, you know, a full game of football together on the offensive side and the defensive side. I just think, you know what I'm saying, long term, how the Eagles want to run everything, I'm real concerned about, like, going forward, if this is the right structure And I would hope that they would, you know, because they're real analytical. I would hope that they would look at it and try to tweak some things.
So I think they will, Brennan. I think they will. Yeah, I think I mean that's what one area I trust Howie in. He's going to look if they're wrong, they'll tweak it. But yeah, I think it's a fair question. You know, short term, long term. I actually feel okay long term. I think Howie tends to figure things out long term, and they have a lot of young players that should have a lot of run left in their career, especially on the offensive side. Short term, I'm more concerned. This looks to me like an 8-win football team. 215-592-9494. All right, let's hear from Sirianni. He was on this morning with the morning show, so it's actually something Brandon just brought up there. Sirianni this morning was asked again about the decision making in the game, specifically to go for the fourth down in the first quarter, to run the football in the fourth quarter, throw the ball instead of run it with, you know, minute 46 to go, and then to not kick the field goal. Here's what he said about his decision-making. It seems like this isn't something he just comes up with on the fly. This is well thought out.
You know, everything that you have to do, like, I don't have to make split-second decisions. I mean, I do within the game, but those are decisions I've made pretty much throughout the week and then throughout – you know, my time as a head coach and time as a offensive coordinator and a position coach, those are decisions I've been thinking about forever, and I go through a process with that. And so, listen, those are high, those play out. If you don't convert on fourth down, it's like a turnover. I get it. And so those decisions, when they work, you know, I don't know if anyone really thinks, oh, they got it there, and that's why they went and scored 7 points there. When they don't work, I'm up to, you know, scrutiny, and that's my job. That's I completely understand that these are decisions that are going to be scrutinized.
All right, Hugh, what do you make of that? He's basically saying there that he doesn't make these decisions on the fly. All week he kind of plans out, hey, this situation here, I probably will go for it, this situation there. You like that, or more of a thing in the moment?
I don't, I've never been a head coach. I'm going to say that first. But that doesn't feel like you have different scenarios that you play in your head and you kind of compare and contrast situations.
Sure.
But every scenario stands on its own merit.
And every moment's its own thing.
Yes. And I don't know if I subscribe to that. I really don't. You know, like I said, I've never been a head coach. But a lot of people, when we talk about that last play, whether or not to run the ball or pass the ball, I know a lot of people said that they were okay with the play call. But I think that if you're in a position where you're coaching, I think a lot of people would have chose to run the ball, given what we know about, you know, how it could go bad in a situation like that, and you don't want to give them back the ball. I would have rather ran off some time on the clock in that situation. So that's what I would have did. But I don't know if I subscribe to that, because you got to have a feel for the game. And like I said, I've said for weeks – that I would have went into it like this, Joe. Let me say this, and I'm going to try not to long talk. I would have went into it like this. Do I trust my defense? Because I feel like a lot of times when Andy Reid was our coach, he said that. And that has been confirmed, because he would look at me or he would look at the defense like, come on, let's go. Because we had that type of defense. We ain't got that type of defense
and
right now.
And that's why Monday night bothered me. Because by going for the third down pass, you're telling me I don't trust the defense. I want to end the game right here. It's not just about clock. It's about ending the game. Well, then you have to go for the fourth down. You got to stay consistent there. That was a little bizarre. The other thing this morning that came up and flew totally under the radar yesterday is Jalen Carter. He was not on the field for the first series of the game. Here was what Sirianni said when asked about that.
Yeah, we're going to keep in-house business in-house. You know, I'll just say that. But I believe in Jalen. You know, he wasn't in there for that first drive, but I believe in him. He's got a ton of potential, and he's a great kid that's had some really good moments here and played some really good games. Who can be one of our best defensive players? And he's working like crazy to do that. And like I said, I'm excited for him in the future of Jalen Carter, but I'm going to keep the business in-house.
All right, he could try to do that. He's going to be asked again. We'll carry his press conference at 12:10. When your best defensive player is not on the field to start the game, there's going to be questions about it. And Hugh, like, I don't know what happened. It obviously wasn't that big of a deal, right? They didn't suspend him for the game or a quarter. It was just one series.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. It's time for Jalen Carter to be the player that we anticipate him to be. He had a great first half of his rookie year. But we're going on, like, what, 10 months now since he's impacted the game? First two games this year, has he impacted the game much?
Not a whole lot.
Like, it's time to, both from obviously a teammate perspective, I don't know what happened within, you know, him not being on time, Jeff McClain reported for something, and on the field, like, Hugh, I need Jalen Carter to be great. And so far, the last seven games last year, first two this year, not great.
Yeah, you need to be one of those guys that's looked at as somebody that's going to step up and fill that void that Fletcher Cox has left.
Yes, it's time.
And that could be, you don't have to be a rah-rah guy. I think a lot of people feel you got to be a rah-rah guy. You don't have to be that. Just be somebody that's held accountable for your actions.
Well, and McClain reported that it was he was late for something, right? Mm-hmm. That's why he wasn't.
I mean, and that's happened before. I've been late, and I've been in the situation that he's been in. I think that right now, because of the situation and everything that has happened, and there's a hint of fragmentation on this team.
And I also wonder, do you think they'd have taken him off the field if it was the first time he was late? Or is this like, hey, man, this is the fifth time?
Like, again, I've been in this situation. And I remember when I was late to a meeting, I was benched for the beginning of the game. And
was that your first time being late?
I think it was.
Okay.
I think it was. So.
I think instead of goofing off in the first quarter, I think we should have kicked the field goal and got the 3 points, and then we would have never lost by one. We would have won by two. So, Nick Sirianni, if you're watching this, hit me up. I'll coach. It's fine because you made a stupid mistake. And, Jalen, get your head out of your ass. Bring the fire next time.
She speaks no lies. That's my favorite reaction I saw after the game. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas shows it.
How many beers was she in, though?
A few, yeah. Quite a few. We didn't catch her name, but if you're out there, you have a spot.
Call in.
Yeah, call in. I want to hear your takes, because you're right. Kick the field goal, run the football, and get out with a victory on Monday night against the Falcons.
You know, it's always amazing how, you know, football is a simple game. But it always becomes complex.
We overcomplicate it sometimes.
Yeah, overcomplicate the game, man. It's something where, you know, and I get they have way more data than I have. But this bothered me so much, Joe, that I reached out to my old coach and I just asked him. I was like, yo, what are you seeing? And he was like, he doesn't understand what they're teaching these kids. He said, like, the fundamentals. Like, that's why I don't believe that these guys are as bad as Bust and all this other stuff, because it's fundamental football. And like I said, I always go back to what he taught me and just the basic concept, because when you know what they're trying to do, the game slows down for you. I mean, it does. And for whatever reason, they don't play with their hands. They don't keep people off their bodies. And they just, you know, they're putting themselves at a disadvantage.
So I hear you on that. So here's where I'm at and why I right now feel like I'm watching an 8-win football team. You keep going back to fundamentals, teaching, and I don't know at this point when the light's going to go on for these kids. Maybe it will one day, but I need to see it go on before I just assume it's going to go on Sunday. I need to see them play well. When was the last time the defense, and I don't mean like, you know, get out of the game in Brazil with a victory. But, like, you felt like we were watching a good defense.
Or you felt like it felt competent.
Yeah, it's been a while. It really has been a long time.
That's the thing for me. I think about in-game adjustments. I think about not doing – I think about Groundhog Day.
That's what it feels like.
Because, like, there is no difference between the first half and the second half as far as – what the Atlanta Falcons were able to do.
No, unfortunately, there's not.
And they ran, and like I was watching Baldy's breakdowns, they ran the same actions from the beginning of the game to the second half.
Because the Eagles couldn't stop. Let's talk to Vinny in West Philly. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up?
What's up, man?
Hey, Vinny, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, man, that back end got to get benched.
The whole thing?
I hear a lot of y'all chitter-chatter, some of the defensive line and all that fine. They're young. You know what I mean? Why do we have, to be honest, why is Slay still starting? Why is number 29 starting? Number 32, come on, let's be honest. Y'all, he's a bench player. He's a special teams guy. He made a football play last week. Good. He was out there. He's supposed to. Right? What are we doing here? We go get Isaiah Rodgers. We put Quentin in the Mitchell slot, right? We have Ringo out on the outside. What are we doing?
You know, I'm glad you said this. I do think it's time. And I'd be willing, and Vinny, good phone call. Hugh, I'd be willing to go with the youth movement in the secondary.
We about to bench Slay because he gave up a touchdown?
Well, no, not just that. I mean, Avante Maddox is fully cooked. He can't play anymore. I don't know what Vic Fangio's doing. Put Cooper DeJean on the field and see if he could play. Put Isaiah Rodgers. Didn't Isaiah Rodgers win a job in training camp? What happened to that?
Then he's MIA.
Yeah, he's MIA in the second game when he got back healthy. And as far as the safety thing, I know he's talking about Blankenship there. I'll tell you what. I think the other safety is more of a liability. I know he made a play, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He's getting cooked in coverage.
Yeah, he made up for that. He made up for that hit.
Made a great play.
For all the other players. Because didn't he fall down or something?
Yeah, he's getting cooked in coverage.
Yeah.
Can we get I'm all for this. Let's get the young guys out there in the secondary. Put Cooper DeJean on the field. Put Isaiah Raj on the field. I don't know what happened to your guy, Keely Ringo. They put him on ice. Get him out there.
I just think it's weird that, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's being taught in practice. You know, I don't know what adjustments are being actually made during the course of the game. It's one of those things, man. It's like, because it just looks the same. It almost looks eerily similar to last year's defense.
Well, it does.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. 2 weeks in, though, I feel like it could get better.
It was better. Like it better. 215-592-9494. Have you readjusted your expectations of this Eagles team? We had a lot of people saying 12, 13 wins before the season, 14. I think we had a 16-1 from a caller. Have you readjusted here after watching them play the first 2 weeks? I feel like we're watching an 8-win football team. Hugh, he still has us headed to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Something cool to announce. Talk about these Phillies who won a big game last night, including a great, great performance by Zach Lure. That's next. Your phone calls on the Eagles. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
And the right-hander deals. And the pitch hit high in the air, deep left center field. Mitchell going over to the track, nearing the wall. He's out of room. It's into the Brewer bullpen. And Bryce Harper with a two-run home run to give the Phillies the lead here in the sixth.
And the lead they kept the rest of the night. The Phillies win last night, Hugh Douglas. They get a home run from Castellanos. They get a home run for Bryce Harper there. And by the way, Hugh, that Bryce Harper power is back. We're back.
And Castellanos has been quietly consistent the last couple of weeks now.
Well, the other thing I noticed, but you know, this is, speaking of quiet on Castellanos, he has not only moved, or I guess this happened a few weeks ago, he moved to the cleanup spot. Have you noticed Topper's left him in the cleanup spot, even with Alec Bohm back? I think Nick Castellanos is our cleanup hitter as we head towards October. That hasn't changed. But a home run by Nick last night. Bryce hits one out. The Bryce power is back. And then, of course, you, the biggest story of the game last night was Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler is incredible. I think we almost sometimes get lulled to sleep with steady excellence. Because it's like, Zach Wheeler doesn't go out there, Hugh, very often and have a 15 strikeout game. Right? He doesn't have. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillette. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls and let you hear some of what Nick Sirianni said this morning with Joe and John. But right now, Kyle, our next guest is our guy, Seth Joyner.
Yeah, and Seth's sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to a $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, Seth, a lot to talk about. Seth, how you doing today?
What's going on, gents?
What's up, man?
Well, Seth, a lot. I mean, unfortunately, the loss on Monday exposed a lot of things that are concerning about the Eagles. Seth, let's start on defense. I heard you yesterday with Joe and John talking about, you know, the areas they're deficient in, which is most of them. Seth, of the issues they have stopping the run and getting after the quarterback, which one is more fixable to you as we go throughout this season?
It should be them being able to play the run better. I mean, you can always get in a five-man front. And situationally, you can get in a six-man front to control the run game. The pass rush, yeah, I mean, you know, you either can rush the pass or you can't.
Yeah.
And it seems like we got a couple of guys that simply can't, and that ain't going to fix itself. They ain't going to learn how to rush the passer, you know, in the next 17 weeks.
Well, and that's the concern here. Can they do that? And set up front, they have some guys here that they brought in the last couple of years, high picks or signings. Nolan Smith, Bryce Huff, when you watch those two guys, what are you seeing? Why are they struggling so much to get to the quarterback?
Man, listen, I wish I was in the studio so I could give a little too small sign.
Is it that simple?
Listen, if when you only have one pass rush, it does become a thing of size. Because if all you do is speed rush, and every offensive tackle in the National Football League knows that's all you got, it becomes a matter of size because you can't make that tackle move. You can't create angles, you know, for alternate pass rushes. You're just simply trying to run by somebody, and all they got to do is open up and put that big paw on you and slap you to the ground when you're too small.
So, Seth, like, you know, we talking about the pass rush, but like the other day, the biggest thing was the run game. What did you see from the running game? And in particular, what did you see from Zach Bond? What did you see from him in the middle?
You know, I talked about it on my podcast last night. It's amazing to me that these guys have made it to the professional level, and the little small details. You got to play with your hands, man. You know, I don't care what position you play, you got to play with your hands. These guys got Velcro. The defensive lineman got Velcro on their chest. The linebackers got Velcro on their chest. And sometimes the DBs need some damn Velcro on their chest so they can tackle somebody. Mm. It's just when I'm watching it, you got defensive linemen that are trying to fight one guy to get the double team. By the time, you know, when you're playing a double team as a defensive lineman, you have to defeat one guy. You can't fight two at a time. Two of them. That's an impossibility. You can't win that. So you got to destroy one, realizing that the reason why they're double-teaming you is so that other guy can get off and get to the next level. But if you destroy it, now you not only are you in your gap, but you give that second-level guy an opportunity to get downhill and fit and get where he's supposed to get to. But when you're trying to fight both of them and you stuck to both of them and they taking you for a ride, your run defense, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, and the linebackers, you know, they still look to me like they're not sure whether they're supposed to fit on flow, whether they're reading the backfield or whether they're reading the offensive lineman. If their eyes are in the backfield, they're going to get beat because their eyes are in the wrong place. I get it. Some of these new schemes and some of these new methodologies require the linebackers, you know, to look at the quarterback and look in the backfield, read the backfield. That's the surest way to get your ass run through. You have to read the offensive lineman. They can't lie to you 98% of the time. They simply can't. If it's run, they got to fire out. And I get it, the RPO. But listen, the league is going to run that RPO up out of here because can't nobody stay on sides with it now. Everybody's down the field. All the offensive linemen are illegally down the field. So that's slowly but surely going to disappear, in my opinion. If it's passed, they got to set and get back, you.
Mm.
They have to. So they're the only ones that don't lie to you. You know, and I believe that my suspicions are true about where their eyes really are, because Zach Bond got chopped down like a sycamore tree a number of times in the game on Monday night. And I'm like, if I see that guy coming out at me, I'm not just going to run up in there and let him chop me. As an offensive lineman, when I'm coming out, if I got to cut a guy, the first thing I realize is his level. If he's going to chop me, he got to start getting down to get there. Mm. He's 300-something pounds, well over 6 foot, 2, 3, 4, but most of the time. So if I'm looking at him, okay, whatever side I'm flowing to, I got one hand on the helmet, one hand on the shoulder pad. He can't get nowhere near my knees, okay? So are they practicing that in practice with the linebackers? Is that something we do that? We should do that every single day.
Yeah, keep them off your legs. Yeah,
you got to keep them off your legs. But he running up in there like, you know, like they're going to let him. And they chopping him down like a big old sycamore tree, man.
And you know what the sad thing about that, Seth, is that it was the same action like every time. Like it wasn't like at some point you kind of know it's coming, but it was like he didn't know what to do.
Mm. Listen, I'm telling you, it's his eyes. Because if I see a guy coming at me, if I'm reading properly – and my peripheral is good, and this is coaching, okay? I was always taught, if I'm off the ball, I'm always reading through the uncovered offensive lineman to the quarterback, to the back. Now, if I can't see all of that, I can't play. That holds true today. If I can't see all of that, I can't play. I'm reading the uncovered offensive lineman because he's going to give me the tell for everything. If it's run, he's firing out. Double team, boom, I come down, take him off right now. If he pull, boom, I'm getting to the other side. You know, I'm following him, and I'm getting to that gap. I'm trying to get there before he get there, you know, so I can same foot, same shoulder, and cut that gap down, okay? If he pass sets right now, if I'm in zone, boom, I'm getting out now. So all of those passes that you're – those deep crossing routes, those are the responsibility of the linebackers, Hugh. But because they don't read properly, by the time they turn around and try to get some depth, if you look at the Eagles linebackers, they very rarely get past six yards depth. You want to know why? Because on play-action pass, they sucked up in the line. And because they're not reading the offensive lineman, by the time they get back, all those deep crosses are killing them. You know, and they don't, and a lot of times they don't even know how to like read and pass stuff off. Like when I played backer in dime situations, and you get those double crosses with the dig behind it, I can't tell you how many times I intercepted that because I got a guy on my left and I got a guy on my right. So anything that crosses my face, I'm passing it, crosser, 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 and then I want to get depth because you got to understand the whole methodology of why you got guys crossing in front of a zone dropper. They're trying to pull you out the zone so they can hit the dig behind you, man. How long you been playing football? What is your coach teaching you? What are you watching in film, man?
You know what, Seth? I was telling Joe that this morning. I was like, I don't know what they're being taught, especially across the line of scrimmage when you talk about the way that they're not even setting the edge. The defensive ends are setting the edge. And I know this is a 3-4, but I still think the concepts are the same because if you're the outside linebacker, and guys are firing out, you got to set the edge because something's coming that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, bootlegs should never work. Because if I'm a contained defender, the minute that the ball goes away, the first thing I'm doing is I'm looking down the line to see if a pull is coming, to see if I got a close. You understand what I'm saying?
Definitely. I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. The next thing I'm doing is I'm looking up to see if there's a reverse coming or whether that quarterback is reversing out.
Instincts. Okay? That's instincts as a defensive end, outside linebacker, whatever you want to call it.
But you, if it's like children, man. If you don't teach them, how do they know?
I that's what I'm saying, Seth. I don't know because watching the games, instinctually. I look and I'm like, okay, well, he's supposed to close that gap because that's a natural hole. If the tackle's blocking down if the offensive tackle is blocking the defensive tackle, I got to replace. I got to close that hole down because something might be coming. I'm not going to run down in there. I'm going to keep line integrity, and I'm going to wait to see what's happening. And then I will come and help out on that play. They aren't doing any of that. They're either running up the field or just running down the line flat. You got to keep your shoulders square.
Absolutely. And this wrong foot, if you're on the left side with your outside foot up and your inside foot back, that's a recipe for disaster too. I don't know why coaches allow edge guys and outside linebackers to do that. Because you want to know something? Sooner or later, okay, you're either going to get blocked down on the outside from a cut down split, you're going to get a puller that's coming to you, or you're going to get a bootleg. And by the time you react, you got to step in the bucket. You got to take the extra step before you can actually react. You're going to get reached. And they're going to get around the end because you ain't keeping your outside arm and your outside, foot free.
Yeah.
And these coaches, I see it all across the league. They let these guys get away with it, and it doesn't affect them a lot, Hugh. But every once in a while, in a crucial time, when they want to get outside or they want to run a jet sweep, the jet sweep is the other thing that drives me crazy. You standing up and hear the wide receiver come, and you just let him run right by you. I would take his damn head off because what should be happening is the guys on the back end should be screaming jet motion, jet motion, jet motion. Now, if I hear jet motion, I'm on the end of the line of scrimmage, and that guy coming towards me, he ain't getting around me. I wonder sometimes the level of coaching that transpires on the professional level and what kind of tools you give these players to be successful. And then we as fans and as media people, it's our job to talk about it. We want to cut these guys every which way to Sunday. When they're not given the tools that they need to succeed, and furthermore, they're not given the tools that they need to develop. Jalen Carter should have 3 or 4 different pass rushes. Okay, you can't power through these 300-pound tackles.
Not at this level.
Not all day long. Mm-mm. Not all day long. Because what he's doing, he's pushing, 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 and now that he's got you moving, now he's trying to get off the block and get to the quarterback. Too late. The average is 1.2, 1,001, 1,002, half of 1,003, and the ball is out. Which means you got to win right now. Which means you got to start getting on the edge sometime. You got to swim some guys. You got to set them up with a jab step inside and boom them and get outside. You got to have some more moves.
Yeah.
But they ain't getting a pass rush and no push in the middle because all they doing is power rushing.
And what they're doing is unfortunately not working through two games. It's not on the defensive side. Seth, we appreciate it as always. You have a great week, and we'll catch up next week after a big challenge for the Eagles down in New Orleans. Thank you, Seth.
Yeah, after all of them fired me up this early.
Yeah, you got me fired up, too.
That was awesome. Defense, that was awesome. Football guy talk. Thank you, Seth.
Take care, guys.
You got it. There we go. Seth Joyner there. I mean, I was just letting you two cook. I mean, that was defensive guys right there talking football.
But, it's funny because as soon as he says it, it was so ingrained in us back in the day. Like, if that tackle get washed, I got to look down the line. I can't get up the field. I have to stay on the line of scrimmage, and I have to close the gap. But I'm kind of shuffling down the line, and I'm looking up the field to see. And all this happens fast, Joe. I'm looking up the field to see if somebody's coming back.
Right.
If nobody's coming back, if everything's going that way, then I could take off down the line. But if it goes back that way quick, I got to stay on the line of scrimmage because I have a better chance of making that play.
I think the biggest thing that's going to take the Eagles season in a more positive direction, or it's going to keep going the wrong way, is can Vic Fangio get this defense to where we hope it could be? Because the first 2 weeks, I know they won one of the games, and someone could call in and say, Joe, they almost won two in a row. They've gotten torched. I mean, they're giving up. They're getting gashed on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Can he get these guys to play at a higher level, or is this what they are? If this is what they are, the Eagles are in big trouble. See, now, if Vic can get them to more of a middle of the pack level, then we got a season.
See, I don't believe they're that bad, and this is why. But you have to be willing to learn. You got to be willing to learn, Joe. I feel like they have the skills to be a good defense, but they have bad habits, and you have to coach bad habits out of people.
How long does it take to break a habit? Is it 20 days?
21 days, man.
Camp started like 60 days ago.
And I, the thing, again, that I always go back to my first coach, because it was a lot that I didn't know playing at the next level. And he used to sit down and he'd tell me, like, man, you're too small. You have to play with your hands. And we sit there and watch film all the time. You have to be a student of the game, man. You can't be one of them cats that feel like you know it all. You have to be coachable.
No question. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get back to some of your calls, and then we'll let you hear what Sirianni said this morning with Joe and John. Particular two things that stood out from Sirianni, including his decision-making on those fourth downs and the Jalen Carter situation, which really flew under the radar yesterday. Let's go to Greg in the Northeast. What's up, Greg?
Joe Hugh, what's up, man?
Hey, Greg, what's up?
Hey, let me start by saying it's September 18th, and the Phillies are the best team in baseball.
That's right, they are. Greg, for as much as I'm concerned, I think a lot of us are concerned about the Eagles, we got a red October coming here, Greg. I mean, the Phillies are going to obviously make the playoffs. They're going to win the division, and they're at least going to get a bye. Hopefully, they'll get the one seed as well. But we got a big month October coming for the Phillies here.
Yes, sir. Now, let me get like 30 seconds to cook on these Eagles. So, look, either we come together now or we're going to continue to crumble. What, we've lost 7 of 9? If we don't come together, we're going to continue to crumble. We can stay here, we continue to lose every week, or we can fight our way back. You guys know this is Philadelphia. We're fighters. We don't quit. I can't do it for them. I play JV.
It sounds like you need some music.
Joe, Kyle, you can't do it for them. The leaders of this team, Kent, BT, Jalen, Saquon, Clay. Walk your asses into the building today. Look everyone in the eye and say, let's go get this back. Let's bring winning football back to the Eagles. Who that going to go down to New Orleans and beat them safe? The Philadelphia Jam Eagles are that. Go Birds.
Go Birds. There we go, Greg. And he did need the music. You're right, Hugh.
No, he needed the music.
Yeah, he needed a little boost.
I wanted to give Seth the music, but...
I just was sitting back enjoying that. Maybe the most underrated part of Seth's interview with us today was asked him about both Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff, and he just said they're too small.
Yeah.
He just said they're too small.
I mean, and you know, Seth played with some grown-ass men out there. Yeah. At defensive end.
I mean, look, I know smaller pass, it's a different league now, right? These guys are 235, 240, 245 off the edge. Mm-hmm. But when you watch some of those highlights of Bryce Huff just getting engulfed, and you watch there's a one clip out there of Bijan coming a chip, and I think it's Nolan Smith, you know.
Ooh, he got de-cleated.
Oh, my goodness.
We got a bleeder.
And he took
not going to make it.
He took him out. Brandon's up next on WIP. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
What's going on, man?
Brandon, we're just trying to figure things out here. What are you feeling?
All right, so I got major concerns, short-term and long-term. Short-term, real quick. I'm going to try to make this real quick. Short-term, I think we're going to have a historically worse or historically bad defense, worse than last year. And I don't think that Jalen is enough. I don't think he's the type of quarterback on the offensive side that can actually erase that. Like, I just think the defense is too bad. And I'm concerned about the scheme of things that they have. Short term, I'm very, very concerned.
Well, I don't think you're crazy to be concerned, Brandon. And I know a lot of people think that, hey, it's just defense. You could outscore teams and all that. I mean, Drew Brees, in the middle of his career, and obviously Drew Brees is an all-timer, he had 3 straight 7-9 seasons at one point because the Saints had a bad defense, you know, about a decade ago. So if the defense is as bad as they've looked the first 2 weeks, it's going to be hard to win a lot of games. That's just the truth.
Right, right. And so as far as long term, what is the expression? A broken clock is right twice a day.
Yep.
So 2017, 2022, the broken clock is the organization at the top and the structure about how they do things. Like, I don't think that you can hire a coach and then hire his defensive and offensive coordinators for him. I don't think that you can rely solely on, analytics all the time, and then have somebody that's basically relaying, hey, coach, with the information we got, 78% says that you should go for this, you know, 4th and 3 instead of kicking the field goal and taking the points. Like, I just think that I think it worked for 2017 and 2022. But if you look, especially at Sirianni's tenure, he doesn't really, like, he's never really put a full game together. Even in 2022, we were scoring like crazy first half of the game. The last half, we were, you know what I'm saying, I mean, we were up by a lot. So we really didn't, you know what I'm saying, lose. But we never really put, you know, a full game of football together on the offensive side and the defensive side. I just think, you know what I'm saying, long term, how the Eagles want to run everything, I'm real concerned about, like, going forward, if this is the right structure. And I would hope that they would, you know, because they're real analytical. I would hope that they would look at it and try to tweak some things.
So I think they will, Brandon. I think they will. Yeah, I think that, I mean, that's what one area I trust Howie in. He's going to look. If they're wrong, they'll tweak it. But yeah, I think it's a fair question, you know, short-term, long-term. I actually feel okay long-term. I think Howie tends to figure things out long-term.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of young players that should have a lot of run left in their career, especially on the offensive side. Short-term, I'm more concerned. This looks to me like an 8-win football team. 215-592-9494. All right, let's hear from Sirianni. He was on this morning with the morning show. So it's actually something Brandon just brought up there. Sirianni this morning was asked again about the decision-making in the game, specifically to go for the fourth down in the first quarter, run the football in the fourth quarter, throw the ball instead of run it with, you know, minute 46 to go, and then to not kick the field goal. Here's what he said about his decision-making. It seems like this isn't something he just comes up with on the fly. This is well thought out.
You know, everything that you have to do, like, I'm able to, I don't have to make split-second decisions. I mean, I do within the game, but those are decisions I've made pretty much throughout the week and then throughout, you know, my time as a head coach and time as a offensive coordinator and a position coach. Those are decisions I've been thinking about forever, and I go through a process with that. And so, listen, those are high, those play out. If you don't convert on fourth down, it's like a turnover. I get it. And so those decisions, when they work, you know, I don't know if anyone really thinks, oh, they got it there, and that's why they went and scored 7 points there. When they don't work, I'm up to, you know, scrutiny, and that's my job. That's I completely understand that these are decisions that are going to be scrutinized.
All right, Hugh, what do you make of that? He's basically saying there that he doesn't make these decisions on the fly. All week he kind of plans out, hey, this situation here, I probably will go for it, this situation there. You like that? Or is it, should it be,
know,
more of a thing in the moment?
I don't, I've never been a head coach. I'm going to say that first. But that doesn't feel like you have different scenarios that you play in your head and you kind of compare and contrast situations.
Sure, sure.
But every scenario stands on its own merit.
And every moment's its own thing.
Yes. And I don't know if I subscribe to that. I really don't. You know, like I said, I've never been a head coach. But a lot of people, when we talk about that last play, whether or not to run the ball or pass the ball, I know a lot of people said that they were okay with the play call. But I think that if you're in a position where you're coaching, I think a lot of people would have chose to run the ball, given what we know about, you know, how it could go bad in a situation like that, and you don't want to give them back the ball. I would have rather ran off some time on the clock in that situation. So that's what I would have did. But I don't know if I subscribe to that, because you got to have a feel for the game. And like I said, I've said for weeks – that I would have went into it like this, Joe. Let me say this, and I'm gonna try not to long talk. I'd have went into it like this. Do I trust my defense? Because I feel like a lot of times when Andy Reid was our coach, he said that, and that has been confirmed, because he would look at me or he would look at the defense like, come on, let's go. Because we had that type of defense. We ain't got that type of defense right now.
And that's why Monday night bothered me. Because by going for the third down pass, you're telling me I don't trust the defense. I want to end the game right here. It's not just about clock. It's about ending the game. Well, then you have to go for the fourth down. You got to stay consistent there. That was a little bizarre. The other thing this morning that came up and flew totally under the radar yesterday is Jalen Carter. He was not on the field for the first series of the game. Here was what Sirianni said when asked about that.
Yeah, we're going to keep in-house business in-house. You know, I'll just say that. But I believe in Jalen. You know, he wasn't in there for that first drive, but I believe in him. He's got a ton of potential, and he's a great kid that's had some really good moments here and played some really good games. Who can be one of our best defensive players? and he's working like crazy to do that. And like I said, I'm excited for him and in the future of Jalen Carter, but I'm going to keep the in-house business in-house.
All right, he could try to do that. He's going to be asked again. We'll carry his press conference at 12:10. When your best defensive player is not on the field to start the game, there's going to be questions about it. And Hugh, like, I don't know what happened. It obviously wasn't that big of a deal, right? They didn't suspend him for the game or a quarter. It was just one series.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. It's time for Jalen Carter to be the player that we anticipate him to be. He had a great first half of his rookie year. But we're going on, like, what, 10 months now since he's played that, like, impacted the game? First two games this year, has he impacted the game much?
Not a whole lot.
Like, it's time to, both from obviously a teammate perspective, I don't know what happened within, you know, him not being on time, Jeff McClain reported for something, and on the field, like, Hugh, I need Jalen Carter to be great. And so far, the last seven games last year, first two this year, not great.
Yeah, you need to be one of those guys that's looked at as somebody that's going to step up and fill that void that Fletcher Cox has left.
Yes, it's time.
And that could be, you don't have to be a rah-rah guy. I think a lot of people feel you got to be a rah-rah guy. You don't have to be that. Just be somebody that's held accountable for your actions.
Well, and McClain reported that it was he was late for something, right? Mm-hmm. That's why he wasn't on
the... I mean, and that's happened before. I've been late, and I've been in the situation that he's been in. I think that right now, because of the situation and everything that has happened, and there's a hint of fragmentation on this team.
And I also wonder, do you think they'd have taken him off the field if it was the first time he was late? Or is this like, hey, man, this is the fifth time?
Like, again, I've been in this situation. And I remember when I was late to a meeting, I was benched for the beginning of the game. And
was that your first time being late?
I think it was.
Okay.
I think it was. So
the first quarter, I think we should have kicked the field goal and got the 3 points, and then we would have never lost by one. We would have won by two. So Nick Sirianni, if you're watching this, hit me up. I'll coach. It's fine because you made a stupid mistake. And Jalen, get your head out of your ass. Bring the fire next time.
She speaks no lies. That's my favorite reaction I saw after the game. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas shows it.
How many beers was she in, though?
A few, yeah. Quite a few. We didn't catch her name, but if you're out there, you have a spot.
Call in.
Yeah, call in. I want to hear your takes, because you're right. Kick the field goal, run the football, and get out with a victory on Monday night against the Falcons.
You know, it's always amazing how, you know, football is a simple game. But it always becomes complex.
We overcomplicate it sometimes.
Yeah, overcomplicate the game, man. It's something where, you know, and I get they have way more data than I have. But this bothered me so much, Joe, that I reached out to my old coach and I just asked him. I was like, yo, what are you seeing? And he was like, he doesn't understand what they're teaching these kids. He said, like, the fundamentals. Like, that's why I don't believe that these guys are as bad as Bust and all this other stuff, because it's fundamental football. And like I said, I always go back to what he taught me and just the basic concept, because when you know what they're trying to do, the game slows down for you. I mean, it does. And for whatever reason, they don't play with their hands. They don't keep people off their bodies. And they just, you know, it's they're putting themselves at a disadvantage.
So I hear you on that. So here's where I'm at and why I right now feel like I'm watching an 8-win football team. You keep going back to fundamentals, teaching, and I don't know at this point when the light's going to go on for these kids. Maybe it will one day, but I need to see it go on before I just assume it's going to go on Sunday. I need to see them play well. When was the last time the defense, and I don't mean like, you know, get out of the game in Brazil with a victory. But, like, you felt like we were watching a good defense.
Or you felt like it felt competent.
Yeah, it's been a while. It really has been a long time.
That's the thing for me. I think about in-game adjustments. I think about not doing – I think about Groundhog Day.
That's what it feels like.
Because, like, there is no difference between the first half and the second half as far as – what the Atlanta Falcons were able to do.
No, unfortunately, there's not.
And they ran, and like I was watching Baldy's breakdowns, they ran the same actions from the beginning of the game to the second half.
Because the Eagles couldn't stop. Let's talk to Vinny in West Philly. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up?
What's up, man?
Hey, Vinny, what are you thinking?
Hey,
I'm thinking, man, that back end got to get benched.
The whole thing?
I had a lot of y'all chitter-chatter talking about the defensive line and all that fine. They're young. You know what I mean? Why do we have, let's be honest, why is Slay still starting? Why is number 29 starting? Number 32, come on, let's be honest. Y'all, he's a bench player. He's a special teams guy. He made a football play last week. Good. He was out there. He's supposed to. Right? What are we doing here? We go get Isaiah Rodgers. We put Quentin in the Mitchell slot, right? We have Ringo out on the outside. What are we doing?
You know, I'm glad you said this. I do think it's time. And I'd be willing, and Vinny, good phone call. Hugh, I'd be willing to go with the youth movement in the secondary.
We about to bench Slay because he gave up a touchdown?
Well, no, not just that. I mean, Avante Maddox is fully cooked. He can't play anymore. I don't know what Vic Fangio's doing. Put Cooper DeJean on the field and see if he could play. Put Isaiah Rodgers. Didn't Isaiah Rodgers win a job in training camp? What happened to that?
Then he's MIA.
Yeah, he's MIA in the second game when he got back healthy. And as far as the safety thing, I know he's talking about Blankenship there. I'll tell you what. I think the other safety is more of a liability. I know he made a play, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He's getting cooked in coverage.
Yeah, he made up for that. He made up for that hit.
Made a great play.
For all the other players. Because didn't he fall down or something?
Yeah, he's getting cooked in coverage.
Yeah.
Can we get I'm all for this. Let's get the young guys out there in the secondary. Put Cooper DeJean on the field. Put Isaiah Rodgers on the field. I don't know what happened to your guy, Keely Ringo. They put him on ice. Get him out there.
I just think it's weird that, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's being taught in practice. You know, I don't know what adjustments are being actually made during the course of the game. It's one of those things, man. It's like, because it just looks the same. It almost looks eerily similar to last year's defense.
It does.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. 2 weeks in, though, I feel like it could get better.
It was better. Like it better. 215-592-9495. Have you readjusted your expectations of this Eagles team? We had a lot of people saying 12, 13 wins before the season, 14. I think we had a 16-1 from a caller. Have you readjusted here after watching them play the first 2 weeks? I feel like we're watching an 8-win football team. Hugh, he still has us headed to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Something cool to announce. Talk about these Phillies who won a big game last night, including a great, great performance by Zach Lure. That's next. Your phone calls on the Eagles. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
And the right-hander deals. And the pitch hit high in the air, deep left center field. Mitchell going over to the track, nearing the wall. He's out of room. It's into the Brewer bullpen. And Bryce Harper with a two-run home run to give the Phillies the lead here in the sixth.
And the lead they kept the rest of the night. The Phillies win last night, Hugh Douglas. They get a home run from Castellanos. They get a home run for Bryce Harper there. And by the way, Hugh, that Bryce Harper power is back. We're back.
And Castellanos has been quietly consistent the last couple weeks now.
Well, the other thing I noticed, but you know, this is, speaking of quiet on Castellanos, he has not only moved, or I guess this happened a few weeks ago, he moved to the cleanup spot. Have you noticed Topper's left him in the cleanup spot, even with Alec Bohm back? I think Nick Castellanos is our cleanup hitter as we head towards October. That hasn't changed. But a home run by Nick last night. Bryce hits one out. The Bryce power is back. And then, of course, you, the biggest story of the game last night was Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler is incredible. I think we almost sometimes get lulled to sleep with steady excellence. Because it's like, Zach Wheeler doesn't go out there, Hugh, very often and have a 15 strikeout game. Right? He doesn't have...
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.